Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep Tea.
And I'm Natalie. And happy Monday for the second time in a row.
Pod besties, don't get used to it though, because we will not stay on this Monday schedule for too long.
I know. All good things must come to an end.
That's my least favorite saying.
All good things must come to an end.
Yeah, like, what do you mean? I want all good things always.
Oh, I say that all the time, especially when it comes to relationships. I was like, this is going to end. I was like, you're not going to be this normal forever. Like, I know some red flags are going to peek through. And that's what we see in this set of episodes for Love is Blind Season 9, episodes 10 to 11. Ooh, lots happened.
Yeah, I feel like these sets of episodes were really emotional. Like, why did I tear up?
I didn't shed one tear.
I know you didn't.
I didn't think it was emotional. I thought it was messy. Well, it's always been messy, but I feel like the messiness just continued on. I mean, we see two breakups in this episode, which I was shocked at the Nick and Annie one.
I was very shocked at that too.
Yeah, that really took me by surprise. For some reason, I thought they were going to like low-key make it. Like, yeah, they were going to be the married couple of the season.
Yeah, I feel like this entire season you've been saying, oh, I think they're definitely going to make it. And I was on board with that too, because I just felt like both of them just wanted to be married so badly that they're like, ah, who cares? Insert person here, you know?
I agree. I think for me, it was more Annie. Like, I was like, she's going to push them over the finish line. You know, like, Nick's just going to, is just going along for the ride. And it's going to be Annie who's like, yeah, we're getting married.
Yeah, she's persistent.
Yeah. And she was persistent during their breakup.
Absolutely.
But Nick held his ground. He was like, no, I'm unhappy and we're not making it to the altar.
Honestly, the way that she tried to keep him in the relationships longer, when she was like, oh, like, you don't have to give me a yes right now when you also don't have to give me a no right now. That comment kind of made it seem like she just wanted to make it to the altar.
I think that was her trying to bargain, which is one of the stages of grief, you know, the five stages of grief. Like, I think she was going through it because first she was like in denial, and then she was, you know, getting angry and then bargaining and then got angry again. And she hasn't hit the acceptance phase. But I'm sure she'll get there.
Yeah, I'm sure she's there now. But that was a weird, that was an awkward watch, because I was like, Annie, girl, do not beg anyone, especially Nick, to stay. Like, you can do better.
I feel like it was less begging, but more so not accepting what was happening. She's like, no.
Yeah.
No, it's not happening.
I actually loved when Nick was like, you know, it's crazy to me that you say you love me so deeply, but it feels like your love is kind of shallow. And I think I resonate with what he said there, because like, Annie says a whole lot of nothing when it comes to their relationship from what we've seen on screen, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what was happening behind closed doors, but I felt like she just kept saying, I love you. I love you so much. It's like, why do you love me? Like, what are the reasons? Like, are they just buzzwords for you to string me along? Like, that's the kind of energy I got from that.
No, I feel like she doesn't love him. She loves the fact she's about to be married. Like, that's what she was really trying to get at. But listen, okay, we're gonna rewind from that breakup scene, because let's get into episode 10, where it opens with their first fight. Not their first fight, actually. It's one of many fights that they have, but their first fight of the episode. Mm. And she is so, so drunk. And again, she talks about how, like, I don't feel like you love me.
Yeah.
Like, I just need some affirmation. I was like, this is the end. I actually felt it right there. I was like, this is the end. Because you could tell Nick is so tired. He doesn't give a shit anymore about how Annie feels. Even when he says, like, this is a concern for me, like, what you're saying.
Yeah.
I feel like his eyes say, actually, I'm out.
Yeah. Poor guy was just trying to eat his damn chalupa. And he's like, I got to put the damn chalupa down now. And now we have to talk about this. But you could absolutely tell Annie was inebriated.
Okay, that's what I was going to say, too, is I feel like these scenes of their fights are kind of unfair, because it's always when she's super, super drunk.
Yeah.
And I think it's so unfair when there's one really drunk person and one not so drunk person having a fight.
I don't think that it's unfair at all. It's actually very revealing about the relationship. Like, if my partner, every time they're drunk, tries to start a fight with me,
that's true,
I would be pissed. I'd be like, I don't think I can handle that. That's draining.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. I just feel like it feels like they were forced to have a conversation by production because they were in filming mode. And yeah. I was like, that sucks that they're filming when she's clearly so, so drunk.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be a good fight.
I absolutely do agree with you on that, because obviously they were like, let's talk about what happened at the party. So yeah. They're like kind of forcing a convo. But yeah, like Annie just was not there completely.
Yeah.
And even what she was saying didn't make any sense. And he's trying to calm her down, but it was like she was just being so redundant with what she was saying. I'm like, Annie, it's time to go to bed.
Yeah. It's time to just sleep this off.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, though, people do say your drunken words are your sober thoughts. Fair. So what she was saying in that scene is probably what she actually feels soberly when yeah. they're together, where she feels like she loves Nick way more than he loves her. And clearly it's like an insecurity for her, because I feel like she's just like asking for a lot of validation.
Yeah.
But doesn't know how she needs to receive it. And I was like, I feel like she's just like a really anxious person.
I think she has like an anxious attachment style potentially in the relationship. And I think that though, like I also sometimes have an anxious attachment style when it comes to my relationships, but that's because I never felt secure in that relationship or that situation. And I think that's why it comes out in me. So maybe she was feeling a little bit of that, like, because it is a very anxious time. If totally. We think back to that time when we did the show.
But when I think about how you're like in relationships, I feel like you never act or project your anxiousness onto your partner. Like, sure, you're feeling it and you're like, okay, I'm feeling anxious. But I don't think you ever act like Annie. I think you're more cool girl anxious, where you feel anxious, but you're not going to like truly act on that anxiousness. Yeah. Like,
I just suffer like, in silence.
Yeah, like in your mind, you're really anxious, but you're going to act like you don't really care that much. Yes. And you're cool, like in real life. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that.
But Annie is anxious inside and outside.
Yes, exactly. Oh, poor Annie. Honestly, though, like, I think the theme of these episodes is thank God they broke up with you.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just really happy that the guys did the right thing and didn't wait till the altar or say yes for screen time or to, you know, further their influencing careers in any way, you know?
Yeah. The one thing I want to mention is when Nick is breaking up with Annie, he's so nonchalant about it that even I, as a viewer, was like, are they breaking up? Like, what is he saying?
Yeah. I think she was trying to make it a joke so it's not as serious. And I really do think she thought that she would salvage the relationship. In that moment, she was like, this is a joke. Like, no, this is not happening.
She's like, no, I could fix this.
Yeah. I love you.
No, for real. When he was just like, yeah, I'm unhappy. Like, we're not getting married. I was like, he's saying it so emotionless that I don't know if he actually means it, you know?
I hate that I'm siding with Nick on this, though.
Same. I was on Nick's side 100%. I think he did the right thing. I yeah. love that he stood his ground. Mm-hmm. And in my book, he gained a point.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then I think about everything else he's done on the show that he lost that point.
Okay, can we talk about that really quickly? Because I thought it was so out of left pocket for Allie at the bridal shower, or I'm sorry, I thought it was so...
What kind of saying is it was out of the left pocket?
That's not real, right?
No, it's either it's out of left field or out of pocket.
Thank you. Okay.
But you merged
my brain is literally.
And even I was like, wait a minute. Listen, I get sayings wrong all the time, but even I was like, that doesn't sound, it sounds right, but isn't quite right.
I'm not going to lie.
I like it though.
I was thinking about it in my brain as I said it and I was like, that didn't seem accurate, but I'm going to go with it. Because all you have to do is say things with confidence.
You really did. But then I was like, wow, I've never heard that before.
That's why I was stumbling. Because I was like, wait, what? I need to go backtrack.
Anyways, it was out of left field.
Out of left field. At the bridal fitting when everyone's trying on their wedding gowns. And Allie is like, yeah, like every conversation with him seemed insincere. And like she was basically bad-mouthing Nick a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering where all this came from. Because as viewers, I don't feel like Nick did anything wrong to any of the other cast members. So like there must be a lot of context that we're missing.
Yeah, but also I think it's because Allie has heard a lot of things from Kate. So she's just going off of what Kate was saying about Nick and what maybe Anton was saying about Nick, how like, you know, you could just tell like Nick doesn't really fit in the guys group.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. I feel kind of sad for him because the best bonds you make are the friendships there. It's not even like with your partner. I mean, some of them have partners, but I'm just saying, in like in general, I feel like that's a shitty position to be in. I wonder who Nick is closest to.
He might be close to no one, but honestly, I think that's okay. Yeah. But I think it's like either it's not a personality match or they really just feel like Nick is calculating.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
I mean, honestly, the way he treated Kate in the earlier episodes, I would assume that too. Mm-hmm. It felt like he was kind of stringing along both girls and then all of a sudden dropped Kate because he needed to make a decision between Kate and Annie. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is calculating. I felt like the whole religion thing was not that big of an issue as Nick made it.
Mm. It's hard to gauge because, like, obviously he's a love bomber and we hate love bombers because, you know, nothing is authentic about that. But the whole religion thing, I'm like, I understand if you want to find a partner that's religious. Like, it makes sense to me, but just don't love bomb them if you're not sure yet or if you haven't found out everything about that person yet. Yeah. And that's what's, like, deceitful.
Yes, I agree. Mm. But regardless of what we think about Nick and what the cast thinks about Nick, he clearly made the right decision.
Absolutely.
You know what? He knew that he couldn't marry Annie. He was unhappy and he ended it. He didn't wait till the altar, and that's always the best thing to do.
A plus in my book.
When you get clarity that it's not going to work and that person is not the person you want to marry, ending it right there and then, amazing. Love that.
And I absolutely love that Joe did the same thing. Was he crazy a little? Yeah. He was spiraling in these episodes.
Why do I view, though, Joe's breakup a little bit differently?
Okay, give me your thoughts. Because why?
Because I feel like from the very beginning, Joe knew that Madison was not his person.
Yeah. I do get the sense that he was stringing her along because he didn't want to get a bad edit. I do think that that was in the back of his brain. But I'm very happy that he broke up with her because, like, obviously going to try on wedding dresses or to try on tuxes for the wedding, it does, like, it's a lot. Like, you
it becomes more real.
Yes. It just feels, like, so meaningless because that moment is supposed to be the happiest moment of your life. When you try on that wedding dress and you're like, wow, this is it. Like, I feel so beautiful. I'm going to walk down the aisle and marry the love of my life. But then it also, on the other hand, if that's not where you're at in your brain, like, it sinks in that, like, everything you're doing is too intense now.
Yeah, it's becoming too real. Mm-hmm. Because I think before that moment, you're just going through the motions of the experiment. But when you get to that bridal dress fitting, the tux fitting, that's when you're making the first real decision for your wedding day. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, like, something that is for your wedding day. And that's scary.
Yeah. Because, like, the other plans that you're making for the wedding, it's like, oh, cool. Like, these are the colors. But it doesn't really set in until you're there and you're talking about the wedding day coming up. As soon as Nick Lachey said, 1 week from today, you'll be at the altar, Joe's like, oh, fuck. Get me the fuck out of here.
No, it was so bad.
I was crying.
Listen, I've stopped giving second chances to most of my exes. To me, second chances should be reserved for your closet. What I mean is, we all have that expensive shirt you only wore once, or that bag you thought you loved but you didn't love that much. The best place to give them a second chance and get paid for it is The Real Real. I'm so excited to share that this podcast is sponsored by The Real Real, the best place to shop and sell authenticated luxury bags, clothing, watches, and so much more.
I am very picky with what I keep in my closet because I don't like having things I don't want or need that take up closet space. So I will sell them on The Real Real, but I also love shopping at The Real Real. So when I sell something on it, I use my earnings to buy something I actually want. And The Real Real is the easiest and fastest way to sell, with over 40 plus million members ready to shop your closet. They use real-time data to determine the highest possible price for every item and handle all the work for you, from the photography to copy writing to shipping and customer service.
The Real Real is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. With thousands of new arrivals daily, no one does resale like The Real Real. And this month, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to therealreal.com/outofthepods to get your extra $100. Therealreal.com/outofthepods. That's therealreal.com/outofthepods. But I loved that after his meltdown, like when he walks to his car during that tux fitting, the episode ends with Sabrina Carpenter's man child.
Oh my God.
I was like, who is the editor? Because this was perfect.
It was so good.
It was like, man child.
At first, I didn't know what was coming. And I was like, oh, it's the end.
And I was like, wow.
It was good.
Editors are trying to signal that Joe really sucks.
Yeah.
Because and Joe's a man child.
Okay. They did him dirty with that.
Why?
Well, like, I mean, it's funny as hell. I think it's brilliant. But I do think that producers are probably so pissed because not that many couples are making it to the altar and they want that wedding episode to be juicy.
True. So probably they just
like, fuck you.
They probably just filmed Nick and Annie's breakup and then here comes Joe exactly. making a scene and they're like, fuck.
Yeah, they're like, no, it's a
And they're
fail.
Like, he's going to be the villain.
Oh,
we're no. We're going to make him a villain somehow. But he did the best thing breaking up with Madison.
Yeah.
I do feel like he knew she wasn't his person a lot sooner.
Yeah.
You know, and probably should have broken up a lot sooner. I also don't like that he was leading Madison on with sex. Like, they're very open, or at least she was, that they were physically intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I can see how she took their physical intimacy as like, he loves me, you know?
Yeah. No, I know. And it's that is kind of shitty, but I'm going to play devil's advocate. And I'm not saying I agree with this take that I'm saying out loud to everyone. I wonder if, yes, maybe Madison wasn't his physical type and he knew like potentially wouldn't work. But what if that was his way of trying and being like, let me see if we can get there. You know what I mean? Because yeah. like that was kind of like a narrative in my head when I was on the show. It's like, let me see like what happens in this experience. And I wonder if he's like trying to be intimate with her
to
see, because like men are very physical.
I don't know. I feel like every scene leading up to this breakup, he had this like scowl on his face. Like he looked like so checked out. Even when they were meeting Madison's family, he was like, oh, yeah. Like, I was just like, okay, you don't want to be there.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That was a very awkward scene to watch because I think maybe potentially it solidified his decision after that.
What, plus like meeting Madison's family?
Yeah, that, because it makes it, again, so real. That combined with the tux fitting and Nick Lachey being like, you're getting married. It just sent him over the edge.
No, yeah, he was like, I got to get out of here for the second time because don't forget, Joe used to be engaged and he called off his engagement right before he was putting the wedding invites into the mailbox.
Oh, wow.
He said that when meeting Madison's family. And I was like, OK, so this is like not your first rodeo.
Yeah. Oh, no, we have a serial runner.
Yeah, I know. Oh, no. I feel like it's his like kink thing.
He's like how much can I hurt them?
He's like, I love getting engaged and just calling off right after a wedding date set.
I really want them to miss me. Yeah. No, that's wild. Maybe I checked out during that scene because what the fuck?
Yeah.
I think I checked back in when Madison's sister was like, that's my man!
Wait, no. And then Madison's mom is like, you're not going to leave like Madison like that, are you? And he goes, no, of course not.
The foreshadowing is
crazy. That's
what
he said. He's like, no. There's no way.
Oh no, poor Joe. I can't tell if he's just like awkward and shy or if he's just like struggling to like understand his feelings sometimes, because like he left his own friends at the tux fitting.
They're like, where'd he go? He went into the car by himself. He didn't even gather his friends.
I know.
He wasn't even like, hey guys, let's all leave together. He just walked away on his own. Like, what was he gonna do? Like, leave them there?
Yeah, like the drama. Like, just be an adult and be like, sorry, can't do this.
And that's why he's the worst person to have a breakup with, because he can't convey or express any of his feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even during that breakup with Madison, I was like, what's the reason and what are you really trying to say?
Yeah, and I don't know if he's just trying to tiptoe around the real reason to not hurt her feelings, but
oh, yeah.
I was like, yeah, we're not getting a straight answer out of Joe at all. And he was kind of cold towards her.
Totally.
But
again, it's because he's so immature. He doesn't really know what to do and he can't convey or express anything.
Yeah. And thank God. I'm so happy that Joe ended it with her because it just allows Madison to find the right person for her. And I really felt for her in this scene when she was like breaking down crying, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, yeah. I can feel your pain through the screen. And it made me emotional. And I was like, okay, you know what? She doesn't even realize it in this moment, but I'm so sure that amazing things are coming for her.
Yeah. Oh, it was the best decision for both of them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I think it would have been even worse if he went along with it and then he got to the altar and said no. That would have been horrible for her, more traumatic. Yep. But if he said yes, like, imagine being in a relationship with someone that isn't like 100% in on you.
I know. Oh my God. In his confessional after the breakup, when he said, if I married her and had kids with her, I would be miserable. I was like, oh, okay.
I was like,
well then.
I was like, okay, well, at least we know that he can convey something. Like, he's very in tune with his feelings.
I couldn't even imagine how hard it was for the producers to do their job with Joe. Because they're like, please, sir, just give me something.
They're like, we're going to ask him the same question 30 different times to really understand why this breakup is happening.
We're going to put this in layman's terms for you.
But I think it said a lot in terms of how Joe viewed his relationship with Madison when she asks him, if we dated in the real world, like, would it have worked? And he responds with, oh, we've gotten farther in this relationship than we would have in real life, or something along those lines.
Yeah. Oof.
I feel like that was the indicator, like, he just simply doesn't find her attractive and just isn't into her.
Yeah. And I think she was kind of suggesting, let's not get married if that's the part that's freaking you out. We can just be together in the real world.
Yeah.
And I think she was trying to, like, extract that out of him.
Like,
to
is it the timeline or, like, what's bothering you? But
and we still don't know.
I think he was clear when he said it wasn't the timeline and that they wouldn't have worked in the real world or wouldn't have gone in as far in the real world than in the experiment. Like, that was where I was like, okay, he just simply doesn't want to be with Madison. Like, he's not attracted to her and he doesn't want to be with her.
Yeah. It just sucks, though, because it's like, at least be respectful and give me the honest answer instead of making me read between the lines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think he owed it to her. But yeah, it was pretty clear. It's like, there's nothing else to say. You just don't want to be with me. Cool. Bye.
But also, I think it's really hard to be honest with that on camera.
I know. Oh,
like,
I know.
I feel like if I was breaking up with someone because I wasn't attracted to them on a show called Love is Blind, I'd be like, the moment I say the honest reason, I'm the villain.
Listen, take a page out of Shake's book, because at least he was honest. And,
and look what happened.
We're in season 9. I think it's pretty safe to say love is absolutely not blind.
No, I know. And we all, like, know that.
The main thing is, okay, I'm not attracted to them. And I think that's completely okay. It doesn't mean you're not beautiful. It's just I'm not attracted to you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the biggest lesson I took away from the whole Shake situation.
But I agree. I think if he said it the right way, totally, it's okay. But I think in that scenario where you're thinking about how is this going to be edited, I'm on a show called Love is Blind, where unfortunately it's all about falling in love sight unseen. And, like, for me to say, well, also, it's not like, you know, Joe Shakespeare. He's not very good with his words. So, I mean,
unless he's talking about Nick, because then he's... He's so good at writing.
I was like, you know, listen, like, I think he knows, like, I don't know how to do this the right way.
Yeah.
But you're totally right. This was the best decision, especially for Madison. And I loved how the last word she said to Joe is, even though I'm angry at you, I'm thankful I did this with you. And thanks for being part of my journey. That was so sweet.
Yeah. And when she's like, you'll always have a piece of my heart. I thought that was very sweet and mature. And that's the best thing you can do is, like, okay, I'm hurt, but, like, I gotta let this go.
Yeah. Hopefully Annie feels the same way as Madison at some point.
Yeah.
But when she said, you'll always have a piece of my heart, and they zoom into Joe's face, I was like, he's like, you never had a piece of my heart.
Did you guys know that a pillowcase could have anti-aging properties? Dermatologists know this. Silk pillowcases can reduce fine lines and wrinkles over time. So it's all I've been sleeping on these days. I get my silk pillowcases from Blissy. Sleeping on silk pillowcases eliminates hair frizz, preserves hairstyles, and protects color-treated hair like mine. There's so many benefits to using one.
Remember when I was complaining about my skin a couple of episodes ago? Using Blissy silk pillowcases was one of the things I incorporated into my life for healthier skin. And make sure you use a silk pillowcase. It's better than a satin pillowcase, which, by the way, are made with synthetics, are rough on skin and hair, and are cheap for a reason. Also, I saw Blissy silk pillowcases at Target, or you could get them on their website.
Because you're a listener, Blissey is offering 60 nights risk-free plus an additional 30% off when you shop at blissey.com/OOTP. That's BLISSY.com/OOTP and use code OOTP to get an additional 30% off. Your skin and hair will thank you.
I'm so excited for Reunion because I really want to know where everyone stands. Like, are they friends? What's going on? And now that I have a hunch or suspicion that none of these couples are going to get married, I feel like they're going to invite the broader cast to Reunion to make it juicy.
Really?
I think so. Well, let's face it, Casey's not showing up. She really does not want to give that ring back.
I think she's going to show up. I think she's going to try to defend herself. What's really interesting, though, so one of our pop Essie sent us this. Joe's in a relationship with someone who isn't from the show, but Madison and his girlfriend follow each other on social media.
Ooh, that's tea.
I know. So people are like, does Madison and his girlfriend know each other? Like, why do they follow each other? Especially because on recent interviews right now, as the show's been airing, Madison is not talking highly of Joe.
Mm. And this is like a clear indication that leading up to the show airing, I feel like people try to stay friends. And, you know, we did the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then when you watch the show and you see those tiny little like comments they make in their confessionals and their like side interviews, that's when shit hits the fan, because you're like, you just never know who someone really is until one, you see them on reality TV and see what they say behind your back, and two, their social media activity.
So I'm very interested to see like where Joe and Madison are at. Like, is Madison still really angry at Joe? All that stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be a good reunion. I can just feel it. Let me just say, this season has been really good so far. I'm pretty hooked on it.
And I am too.
It's so entertaining.
I don't like these episodes as much as I did the previous ones because there's so much fighting and now it's getting annoying. But
yeah, right. I love it. I love some conflict when it doesn't involve me.
I do think that this season is a better one, especially after Love is Blind season 8, because that was a snooze fest. The Minnesota season.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of the drama happened in the pods and the rest was just like, okay, chill.
No, the Minnesota season was probably one of the worst seasons, not because of the cast, but because there was nothing really going on.
Mm, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, no one was being truly honest on that season.
Yeah. I know a lot of people online are commenting on this current season, season 9, saying, oh my God, it's a shit show. Where did they find this cast? But I'm over here like, have you been this entertained with Love is Blind before? Like, this is one of the best.
100%. Let's move on to Ali and Anton, because I feel like now we're seeing a lot of the issues in this relationship.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with the drinking situation. What in the world was that? At first, I thought producers were trying to set up like a random storyline with this couple because there's not much going on and they seemed perfect. But as Ali was asking the questions about the drinking, I was like, oh boy, we have a problem. Are we all thinking the same thing? Patrick never came over. When he's like, oh yeah, Patrick came over and we had a few drinks. I was like, no, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Patrick's probably watching this being like, wait, you never offered me a drink.
Yeah. Patrick, can you please let us know?
Well, he also changes the amount they drink. So first he says that they had a few drinks each.
Yeah.
Him and Patrick. And then he changes the story later on that they had a drink each.
So,
and here's Allie being like, wait, let me calculate how that all makes sense. Like, where did the other 24 beers and half a bottle of tequila go then?
Yeah, the math is not mathing. And plus, it was so weird because he was like, oh, yeah, Patrick came over, but then changed the story when Allie seemed like she had a problem with Patrick being in their personal space. And he goes, no, like we went downstairs and I brought like one drink each. And I'm like, you're a liar.
Yeah. I was very triggered by this scene because I've been in a relationship with someone who had a dependent relationship with alcohol. And I was like, Ali, I was always trying to figure out, like, why are all the drinks gone? Mm. Like, who is drinking this and when and where? Obviously, I knew it was my partner, but he wasn't being honest. There was always an excuse being like, no, you and I both drank it. No, you don't remember? You had a couple more drinks than you actually think you did. Like, all this stuff. Or like, you know, I shared these drinks with someone else that... Mm. And remind me the same exact thing. And you could tell Anton is not being honest.
If you're telling the truth, it wouldn't be hard for you to just say exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So that's like the tough part. But it's like, it's also a hard thing for Allie because like she's kind of put in this situation where she has to assume that there's a problem, but he's not being honest about it. And that in itself right there, when I found out like, okay, it's not just the, I don't know, whatever, the high noons or whatever that he was drinking, the seltzers, plus the beer and the tequila, that's when it's like, oh, this is not going to end well. I right then and there would decide this is not the person for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because you simply don't know enough about them.
Exactly. Like, think about it. It's a fact that there's 2 12 packs of drinks missing. So that's 24 drinks.
Mm-hmm. Patrick was never there.
And Patrick definitely didn't have any. No. Or he had one. Who knows if he was there. And a half a bottle of tequila.
Yeah.
Like, that is a lot of drinks for just a week.
Another telltale sign that you're dependent on alcohol in an unhealthy way is also the fact that your tolerance is so high that you're able to drink that amount and Ali's not able to notice that he's like wasted out of his mind, you know? So it's like, could be an indication of a pattern.
Yeah. So he says Ali had 2 drinks. Mm-hmm. Let's say Patrick had another one. Let's say he actually did stop by and Anton gave him a drink. Mm-hmm. That means that Anton had 19 beer / whatever high noons and a half a bottle of tequila in a week. That's a lot of drinks.
Woof. That's a lot.
I'd be concerned too.
And is he drinking this after the night shifts in the morning? Because...
And I think what made me realize that there is an issue going on is because remember when Ellie was like, is the half bottle of tequila still in there? And he's like, let me go check. And he like goes to the fridge and is trying to find it. And he goes, nope. It's like, oh, the fact you're acting suspicious, acting guilty and lying, like there's a problem. Yeah. Because I feel like if it wasn't a problem, he would just be really honest. Yeah.
And thank God for this part of the experiment too, because unless you're truly living with somebody, you wouldn't have noticed those things. And you really learn a lot about your partner living together, because if they had just been dating, like it would have probably taken her a long time to figure out that there could be an issue.
Yeah, 100%.
Lately, I have been more consistent with working out and it just feels so good. It's not just about getting in shape. It's about managing stress and feeling grounded. And for me, it's a form of self-care. That's why I've always loved using Tonal. Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, a full gym's worth of equipment, coaching from expert personal trainers, on demand 24/7 in your home. Tonal uses personal resistance that automatically adjusts to your strength as you move. They've completely reimagined home strength training, and now they've reimagined Pilates too.
Okay, so I actually really love Pilates. I feel like it's the perfect complement to the strength training workouts I do. It helps me improve my range of motion and makes every other workout more effective. It also helps me with my core strength and muscle definition. And Pilates on Tonal is way more than just Pilates on Tonal. They have a growing library of 3,000 plus workouts that range from strength training to cardio, yoga, recovery, and more.
Right now, Tonal is offering something special just for our listeners. Go to Tonal.com and use promo code OUTOFTHEPODS to get $200 off your Tonal purchase. That's Tonal.com, promo code OUTOFTHEPODS.
By the end of episode 11, I was like, there is no way these two are getting married. I just feel like first, there's no chemistry, but also I feel like editors are foreshadowing this, especially during the scene where they're meeting Anton's mom and they zoom into Anton just like chowing down on his sandwich and they like raise the volume on his chewing. It's just like...
I think that's a personal thing you notice because
I'm telling you, the fact that the cameraman zoomed into him eating, like he was just like bent over the sandwich, just like shoving it in his mouth. And then there's like crumbs everywhere and editors raise the volume of him just chowing down.
I think my clear indication of that was like, oh, Anton does have a drinking problem, because when they were doing that snow experience or whatever in the interviews, carriage, he had like the drinks in his hand. By the way, I just want to say, when they're on that horse carriage, they had the cutest gold cups, and I just want to say I want one of those cups now. Did you see that? It's like a little coffee mug style cup. Mother. It was so cute. I wish they had that on our season.
I feel like in that little winter snow carriage scene, you could tell they have no chemistry. I feel like they're sitting further apart from each other. Like, I just feel like Allie just wants nothing to do with Anton now.
Yeah, because I'm like, if I put myself in Allie's shoes, I could understand it. She's trying to process all the information that she's like observing.
Yeah.
And she probably got the ick from him. Like, and that's like harsh to say. And I'm just like, you know, being funny about that piece.
I got the ick from him as a viewer. Okay.
Yeah. But like as her partner, I feel like she's reconsidering her life. She's like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if I want to get married. And I think that's what's in the back of her head. So she's not really like connecting with him anymore.
I feel like it's less of like, I don't want to get married. It's more, I don't want to get married to him. And I don't blame her.
Yes. Yes. That's what I meant. You know, to him specifically. Yeah, because I think at first it's easy to listen to his words and believe him. But the fact that she's like catching him in small white lies, that whole situation happened with Anton's friend's girlfriend. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that's like weird.
Yeah, and like building up, and the fact he eats like a caveman. He was hunched over that sandwich and just like, I don't think I even saw him chew. It was just like straight swallow, you know?
I'm
dead. She's like, we have more sandwiches. And he's like, oh yeah?
Oh, I remember that part now. Like, we do? Let me go get
that. And I was like, okay, we got to see him again eating the sandwich like a caveman. As the mom is like, oh, he's perfect. He's so ready. In that scene, he acted more in love with those sandwiches than he was with Allie.
I'm so dead. One more thing about that whole situation when they're talking about his drinking. Remember when he tried to like throw it back at her and was like, well, like, is it typical of you not to clean and do yes. laundry and do all of this? And she's like, yeah. I was like, you know what, Allie? Hell yeah.
But the fact he said that means he was defensive about his drinking.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, okay, he has a problem.
Yeah. Because like cooking, cleaning, doing laundry is not the same as, you know, drinking too much all the time. It was absolutely a classic case of deflection. But yeah, there's just the signs are there.
I hope she says no. It's really confusing. Like, I don't think they're going to get married. Yeah. But there are some scenes where she's, you know, when she's talking to her mom, she acts like she is ready to get married to him. So I'm like a little bit confused.
Especially because she also was really emotional in that scene with her mom. And saying like her sister was not approving of their relationship and she was getting teary-eyed over it. And so I think, I don't know, with all the things combined, you're right. I think she's going to say no.
Yeah. And I hope she does.
Yeah. He's not ready.
Yeah. He's just not ready. He really isn't. Mm-mm. When she brought up the concern about his drinking and the way he was handling that conversation, it just... lots of red flags.
Yeah, something was off.
You know?
Something
was off. I'm having a Joe moment right now where I can't convey or express how I feel about anyone. But I could just say I know a red flag when I see a red flag.
Let's jump into KB and Edmund. There is a lot of issues here. Lots of fighting. I don't think there was one moment besides rollerblading that they were happy.
There's a lot of issues here.
There's a lot of issues. Like, let's be honest. They're saying no. If KB says yes to this man, I will really have to question her integrity. Because...
and her intention.
And her intelligence. Intentions, integrity, and...
the three eyes.
The three eyes.
Okay, so when KB explains why she was so mad at Edmund at that Western Pod Squad party, I was definitely on her side. Like, oh. Edmund does sound very selfish. And she's... absolutely right. Like the fact that she was running around trying to get them prepped for this party and he wouldn't help her because he didn't want to be late.
Ugh. Like, and all he had to do was get a haircut. Like Edmund.
I was totally on KB's side, but I thought that this would be the moment where she'd be like, okay, we're ending it right here. Like I was waiting for that. I was like, okay, we're going to get a Nick and Annie breakup now.
I know. I don't know why she's not breaking up with him.
I think the worst part of that conversation is Edmund doesn't know what he did wrong. Like, I know he says, like, I need to say sorry and I need to be accountable, but I don't think he actually knows what he needs to be sorry for.
Yeah. In the later episode, he does mention, like, oh, sometimes I just say sorry to just tell you what you want to hear. And I was like, you know what, Edmund, you should have kept that to yourself, buddy. Like, why are you revealing your secrets?
Yeah. Because even when she's explaining to Edmund why she was so upset at the party, he still goes, say something nice. I was like, oh my gosh.
He's like, nope, you got it wrong. I do have to say I'm also on KB's side because context matters so much. Because in our last recap episode, I'm not going to lie, I was like, KB, this is not okay to call him out in front of everybody. And now that she explained why that happened, I was like, oh, context is very important. Because
she's like, she was on her last leg. She was like, I'm about to blow up.
Yeah. But Edmund is so interesting to me because he allows KB to just walk all over him in a sense. Because even during this whole conversation where they're talking about what happened, Edmund is just sitting there completely silent and he's like just taking it. But there were certain moments KB was talking to him like a child.
Is it too early to say this, but I cannot wait for the holiday season to arrive. The holidays just have this magic to them, from cozy nights in, the smell of candles and soft lighting sparkle everywhere. And I've been getting my space ready with Pieces from Wayfair. And honestly, they have everything to make your home feel warm and festive. I got some vanilla scented candles, new throw pillows, and some festive candlestick holders.
I wonder if we got the same candles. You'll have to let me know when you come over next, because I also bought a few of them. I also got another Sherpa blanket, because why not? And of course, I had to get some Christmas lights to put inside my apartment too, because it's also Diwali. And I just love moody lighting when it's cold out. I really like that Wayfair has things for any budget and space. And everything I've bought from Wayfair were delivered fast and free.
There's something for every style and every home, no matter your space or budget. Get organized, refreshed, and ready for the holidays for way less. Head to Wayfair.com right now to shop all things home. That's Wayfair.com. Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is just my personal opinion, but I think Edmund thinks neuroatypically. My assumption is he's neurodivergent. And I think that KB is looking for a neurotypical response, which is why her annoyances and frustrations are growing. This is all an assumption. Like, I don't know if he's actually neurodivergent.
There are certain moments during this conversation where she's like, and what are you apologizing for, Edmund? Oh, that's not right, Edmund. But I understand the frustration, because in the later fight, she's basically like, you are a different person when the cameras are rolling versus when you're not. And I think that is very true. I think Edmund is trying to portray this version of himself when the cameras are rolling.
Yeah.
But it wasn't clear to me until they had that conversation later.
Yeah, I think Edmund is not good at taking accountability, but also just doesn't understand what he does wrong, even though KB clearly lays it out for him. But I do think that it just goes beyond not understanding. I do think that he might be neurodivergent. Yes. And that's just my personal opinion. I don't want to like diagnose anyone. That's just my assumption. And so I think that requires me to give a little bit of grace. Not that KB needs to take that into account and just be like frustrated with him all the time. Yeah. I think she needs to end it. She needs to break up with him. And I don't know why she's not doing that.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is I'm not sure why she's holding on even longer, because there have been so many moments that would have justified her leaving. Like, no one would be upset if she left.
Yes, people would understand. And I think she knows it's the right thing to do. I will say my mind went there where I was like, I feel like KB is just with Edmund right now because she wants screen time.
Yeah, or she's afraid of how she comes off. I always go
like,
back
like, she doesn't want
to
like end it early because she's scared she's going to look bad doing it.
Because, you know, sometimes you can't trust producers and you don't know how they're going to edit anything.
And we don't know if like producers are kind of pushing them to make it to the altar, knowing that Annie and Nick broke up and Joe and Madison broke up, and they're like, KB and Edmund, you guys are going to the altar.
Yeah,
okay?
They're like, we need to salvage this.
They're
this
like,
season.
KB, we know you need to leave, but you're going to go to the altar.
Yeah.
We'll pay you.
We will upgrade your ring stay. No. Yeah, I definitely don't think this couple is going to make it either. Like, no, what a shit show.
During the bridal dress fitting, Vanessa Lachey asks one of KB's friends, like, what do you think about Edmund? And her friend goes, he's interesting.
Yeah.
He's unique in his own way.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, they're not getting married.
No. There was one thing that I did catch. I'm not sure if you caught this, but in their very first fight, like after the Western thing happened, he was like scrolling on his laptop and you could tell he's looking at roller skates. He's looking at rollerblades. And so I was like, ooh, that's a telltale sign that editors did things so differently, because he gifted her the skates already in past episodes, but you know that the fight is happening now. This couple's just not gonna, they're not making it.
I like KB, but she really confuses me. I really don't know why she's still in this relationship.
Yeah.
I really think she needs to end it. I think she knows that too, but I do question her intentions of why she's still in a relationship with him. Like, yeah. Why does she have to make it to the altar? Again, I also want to give grace, because I don't know if producers are pushing her to make it to the altar. And sometimes when you feel a lot of pressure from production, you just feel like there's no out.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different for our season because we had a clause that we had to make it to the altar or else we had to pay a fine, mm-hmm. a monetary fine that was very big. So I was like, hell no, yeah. I'll make it to the altar.
I give KB grace in whatever she's doing because I do really like her as a person. And I think that there's a lot that we don't know about what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like what her mindset is and what she's thinking, you know? So.
Yeah. Because I feel like there has to be a reason why she's still in it. Reason one is she's really on it for more screen time. Reason two, producers are kind of pressuring her to stay until their wedding day.
Yeah. Or reason three, she doesn't want to look bad on screen.
Yeah.
And, you know, her producer spinning it in a certain way.
Yeah. So. Because I know they took the clause out of the contracts where mm-hmm. you have to make it to the altar. So we had that on our season where you have to make it to your wedding day yeah. and you have to give a decision at the altar.
Yeah, man.
Unless they plan a breakup like they did with Kyle and Shayna. Like,
oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Like, they always knew they weren't going to make it to the altar. So unless you get there, okay, like, you're staying on the show till the altar.
Yeah. There's just a lot that goes on that you guys don't see on screen. And I think we have, like, a little bit of insight into it. So I feel like I want to be a little bit more gracious towards their
yeah.
breakups. Even some of the men. Like, sometimes I'm like, okay, you had to do that.
Yeah.
Like, Joe and Nick, thank you for breaking up with you.
I know.
People.
Now that I think about it, you know, when it comes to Joe and Madison, they might have been pushing Joe along. Be like, hey, we know you're not in it, but can you continue going? Like, see if it works. And then sometimes they kind of hint that you might get a bad edit if you leave early.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And
we've both experienced it.
So. Yeah. Facts, dude. Oh, man. Crazy. Well, our last couple, Megan and Jordan, I had some hope for them, but I don't know, man. The way that they left this last episode, the ending scene, I'm questioning everything.
I feel like they're the most serious couple out of the bunch.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I actually do think that they have a chance at potentially making it. Until that last scene. Now I'm like, are their lifestyles just so different
yeah.
that they're not compatible?
That's what I thought too. Well, at first I was like, this is just a silly little argument. Like, they'll figure it out. Just because their argument was so tame and mature compared to the other ones that we've seen.
Yeah, it wasn't as intense.
Yeah, in these episodes. But I think if you think about what they were actually arguing about, mm-hmm. which is a difference in lifestyle,
yeah.
I was like, ooh. I don't know if they'll actually make it.
Yeah. This just reminds me that, like, even if you talk in the pods about what your life is like, until you live it, you have no idea if that's something that you want for yourself. Because Megan knew that Jordan had this, like, high-stress job. It's going to be a lot of hours. Like, it's not going to be as flexible as her schedule where she just, like, plays tennis at 10 a.m. and then goes and golfs. And, like,
goes to Aspen.
Listen, I'm going to go to Aspen for two, you know, three, 4 days. Like, it's just, like, a different lifestyle. And I know they talked about it in the pods and they were both okay with it. But until you live it, you don't know what you're sacrificing and you don't know the compromise it takes.
Exactly. She even says something during that argument. She's all like, oh, in the pods, it was all about conversation. And he's like, this isn't the pods anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there's other things going on in his life. He has to now take care of his kid. Like in the pods, you're not seeing other people like your friends and family. You don't have your phone. So all you can do is have conversations.
Yeah.
And now in the real world, there are distractions and other priorities.
Yeah, absolutely. His kid being number one on that list. And I actually love the way Jordan communicates because he's very honest. I love when he's like, you think taking like a little child to it on vacation is fun? No, that sounds like a chore.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so accurate. And I don't know. I think it's really important for Megan to see what she's signing up for, because yeah, she has to be very selfless and, you know, be there for Jordan and a child. So yeah, it's a lot to ask of her.
Yeah, but I won't lie, I felt like Jordan's personality switched up in these episodes, but I think he's just so burnt out.
Yeah,
you know, he's working, he's being a dad, but also he has to make time for filming. Like, even though you don't film often during the week, it's at least like 5, 6, 7 hours. It's yeah, tiring. And sometimes filming goes to like 11 p.m. at night.
Absolutely. Especially if you have a job and you can't film during your work hours, you're stuck filming till wee hours of the night.
Yeah.
And Megan, on the other hand, has a very flexible schedule. So she's kind of like waiting around for Jordan potentially. And she's like, well, you're not taking me on nice dates, like just because flowers, like all this stuff. And he's like, bro, I literally don't have the mental capacity.
He's like, I'm so tired. He's like, I'm talking to people all day. The last thing I want to do when I get home is talk even more. And I get it. Like, I'm an introvert and I'm the same way. Yeah. Like, even after we talk about these episodes and we record this podcast, I'm tired. Like, I can't talk to someone for 2 days. I do also feel like he needs to meet her needs too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what this reminded me of? When I was working, I was like so annoyed with my boyfriend at the time, and we were living together, that sometimes I would literally park my car and sit in the car for 30 minutes before I would go inside.
I'm tired. I need a break.
Yeah, I literally just take a break in the parking lot.
Yeah. And I feel like if I was tired and stressed and I didn't want to talk to anyone and my partner goes, I need more conversation, I would actually lose my cool.
I would absolutely lose my cool.
No.
Can you talk to ChatGPT or something?
Yeah.
Because I literally can't.
But again, I love their argument and the fact that it felt so much more mature than the other couples.
Yeah.
And it feels like something that they can resolve because they're being so playful and joking during it. Like it felt serious, but it felt more like a, let's figure this out together.
Yeah, like we can get through it. I don't know. It's interesting because you're right. Like Jordan did switch up a little bit, and I think he's entitled to. I don't think he did anything wrong. But I'm glad that happened because it gives them a taste of what the real world will be like once the cameras go away.
Yeah, like this is what your relationship is going to look like. But they have to be so serious. Like, I feel like they have to get married. The fact that Megan already met Jordan's son, Luca, mm-hmm, like that's very, very serious.
It is. Yeah. And it's like part of this process. But I don't know. I don't know. We like, I wonder how
it's
much
not
time
really part of the process, though.
Well, like, I think for Jordan, it's like the most important thing in his yeah, life. So before he can say yes at the altar, like that is part of his process in a way.
I feel like if I was a single parent, I wouldn't introduce my kid to someone unless I was really, really serious about getting married to that person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're engaged, so it makes sense.
They're also having sleepovers.
But the thing like, is,
Megan
like,
talks about the fact that Luca slept over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But the thing is, like, I wonder how many times that they have done that. If it's only one time, I don't know.
They're like, this is daddy's friend, best friend.
Can I just say, though, like, I think the stakes are so high for anyone who's a single parent on Love is Blind.
Yeah.
It's not just about you anymore. And like, obviously, I think like the experiment could work, but it complicates things a lot.
I think if you're a single parent trying to get married on the show, it is a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
You're literally bringing a stranger into your child's life. Mm-hmm. But if you're a single parent just doing the show to get an influencer career out of it, I mean, listen.
Yeah.
I think he's the best guy on this season, if not one of the best guys from this franchise.
Yeah, agreed.
I think he's really in it for the right reasons. If I could make a prediction, though, I think he's going to be the one to say yes and Megan's going to be the one to say no. Because if they don't get married, I feel like Megan's going to be the one to be like, I don't want to change my lifestyle to fit into Jordan's life. Because ultimately, even though relationships are about compromise, I feel like it's going to be Megan who needs to make the most compromise.
Yeah. And it was very indicative of Megan when she says, oh, like marriage is about little compromises. And I'm like, no, 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 Megan. Marriage is big compromises.
You're going to have to change your entire life.
Yeah, at all times. Like it's going to waver, you know, based on the needs of a child plus your partner. But I do think that at the altar, Megan, if she says no, I think that she is going to try to maintain a relationship. I think she's going to try to date him in the real world. And potentially at the altar say, I think we need more time because this is a huge adjustment for me.
Yeah.
Because it's not as big of an adjustment for Jordan.
Yeah. I feel like getting married in Love is Blind is absolutely not the same as marrying someone in real life where you have so much time for your lives to kind of
intertwine
together, you know, and that takes like months and years.
Yes.
Love is Blind. You just met 6 weeks ago, actually really like 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then you have to start making big decisions. Like your lives aren't intertwined yet. So like any compromise feels really, really big versus it happening just naturally and slowly in a regular relationship.
Absolutely. Because literally a month ago, you were a completely different person.
Yeah.
And a month is like the smallest blimp in the timeline. So
I honestly think that the life that Megan wants is someone with Jordan's personality where they're understanding and really kind, but has Mike's lifestyle. Do you remember Mike, her other connection?
Yes. How could I
feel like
him?
That's what she wants.
Yeah, but
like someone who's going to enjoy like the sparkle and glam with her.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume that like down the road, if they even said yes, she'd be like, why don't you quit your job? I can support us. But Jordan's just not that type of person.
Yeah, because Jordan says he wants to be a provider. During his confessional, after they looked at the $2 million home, he was like, I want to be able to provide for Megan.
Yeah. I unfortunately don't think Megan's going to find what she's looking for, though, because it's so tough to find somebody who has money, who's accomplished, and like doesn't have the ego and has like a really good communication style. I feel like that is like such a rare find.
Totally.
And whoever is that way, they're probably already taken. So that's the hard part about it.
Honestly, now that we talk about them, I don't want them to get married. I think it's too soon.
I think it's too soon too. I absolutely do. Anytime a kid is involved, I feel like it's too soon. Like take your time, date in the real world, see if it works, and then get married on your own timeline.
And that's just our opinion as two women who don't have kids. But we have eggs on ice.
I have a niece. I feel like I'm allowed to talk about it because I have a niece.
What are your predictions for the next episode, which is the finale?
No one gets married. Like I've said, the entire recap episodes, I feel like no one makes it.
Okay, that's what I think too. I think no one gets married.
Yeah.
I just can't see it.
No. And if they do, it's a mistake.
Yeah. Okay, between KB and Edmund, who do you think is going to say I don't?
Oh, obviously KB.
Yes.
She's been dying to say no since she saw him running on that red carpet at Reveal.
She's practicing saying I don't, like in front of the mirror.
Yeah, she's going to have the best speech. What about Anton and Allie? Who do you think is going to say yes or no?
I think she for sure is going to say I don't. And I think it's a given. When the cameraman zoomed into Anton eating like a caveman, I was like, there's no way they're getting married. Because I feel like if they were, editors wouldn't edit him so negatively in these episodes.
I'm so dead that you're stuck on him eating like a caveman because I think that personally attacked you.
I just don't know how else to explain like how he was eating, but it's how I imagine someone in like 15 BC would be eating.
I'm so
like a
I'm
legit
crying.
Caveman.
I'm literally crying right
now. Like he was just like cowering over his food as if he needed to like protect it. And I want to be like, there's plenty of sandwiches, Anton.
I'm
like
crying.
No one's gonna steal your sandwich. You don't have to scarf it down.
And also in the trailer, Allie crying, like I wasn't sure if it was like, are these happy tears? Because
they were sad tears.
They were sad tears, right? Because they were like bullets coming down her face.
I was like, yeah, they're not making it.
Yeah.
But I could have called that like after episode 10.
Yeah. Okay. What about Megan and Jordan?
Oh, that's a hard one. I think there's a chance they might get married. I hope they don't because I think they need more time. Mm. I think if they don't get married, I think it's going to be Megan who says I don't.
I agree. And I think she's going to say, let's date. and figure it out. Like, I don't want to let you go, but I don't think we're ready for marriage.
Yes.
I think that's going to be the energy she brings.
Ooh, I'm so excited. One thing I will say, though, is people are saying Megan and Jordan don't make it to their wedding day because they aren't in the preview for the finale episode that comes out this Wednesday.
Ooh.
Only their voices are, but there's no footage of them.
Interesting. That's interesting. Well, we're going to have to find out. I'm so mad that they're making us wait another week.
Yeah.
Like, could they not have just dropped it?
I know. And then another week till the reunion.
Yeah. So we're going to have to wait 2 weeks to get all the answers we're looking for. But at least they have us hooked because I am entertained and hooked.
I'm not hooked on the other couples. I'm hooked on what happens with Megan and Jordan.
Yeah, they're our strongest couple. So they're our only hope for a marriage this season. But anyways, well, Pod Besties, let us know what you thought about these last set of episodes. Who do you think is going to get married?
And who do you think is going to say, I don't at the altar? And make sure you leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Monday.
Bye.